Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Indie 50 podcast. I am your host, Amir Osneni. Indie 50, of course, is the independent wrestling podcast that is brought to you by the Smart Plug Network, which, of course, is Strong Style Podcast for Strong Style Wrestling fans. We cater to everybody. We give you independent wrestling. We give you NJPW. We give you Ring of Honor. We give you the British Independence. We give you WWE. We'll give you whatever you want if you ask, baby. Oh, yeah. So, Indie 50, as you guys know, myself and heel Nick Payne were in the house for Summer Sizzler last Friday. Summer Sizzler, of course, being Revolution Pro Wrestling's big summer show, headlined by Volta versus Tomohiro Ishii, not to mention a plethora of great matchups, including an incredible culmination of the rivalry that was Dan McGee and Josh Bodum. Amazing, amazing times. Congratulations once again to Dan McGee, who's obviously a friend of the podcast, and everybody else involved with Summer Sizzler. It was an incredible show. But a few of you might have known that myself and Nick Payne had a chance to sit down and have a few drinky pools before the show, and we were joined by one legendary individual, one awesome human being, the gnarliest wrestler in all of Britain and across the world, Chuck Mambo. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Mambo sat down with myself and Nick Payne to have a little discussion about wrestling, how he's feeling, what he's been up to lately, beer and banter. With Chuck Mambo. You know, we do things a little bit differently here. We didn't want to bore the tits off of you with basic, bare-bones questions. This is a chance to sit down, and for anybody who loves British independent wrestling, this is a great listen. Chuck Mambo, wonderful human being. He's one of the coolest and most exciting wrestlers on the British circuit right now. And of course, as you will know from checking out our Indie 50 podcast from the past, he is the first ever inaugural Brighton champion of Riptide Wrestling. Of course, he provided us with one of the great all-time independent moments when myself and many other fans rushed the ring to celebrate with Chuck Mambo and the ring broke. It was an incredible moment, as we know. But we caught up with Chuck in the pub, of course, because where else would you want to sit with one of the gnarliest dudes in all of wrestling to see how he's doing, how he's feeling, what's on tap for the future, and just in general, we had a good conversation with the good brother that is Chuck Mambo. So, without further ado, here is myself and heel Nick Payne's chat, the legend that is Chuck Mambo. Mambo!
Mambo!
Literally just records, mate, so you just talk as you want.
They better be fans of EDM. Otherwise, I'll be very disappointed.
Be very interested in this.
We need to try and get a video so that we can like jump ourselves into EDM again. Because I was on it last time, wasn't I? Dancing at the merch table.
So, oh, very nice.
Myself and Collins.
To be honest with you, I never know what's going to make the edit. I just send as much.
Is it Tico who does the edit for
Yeah,
I imagined as much.
Bombarding with hours and hours of content.
Which, like, naturally, he can't look at all of it. So I guess it's kind of my fault for sending him so much nonsense.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
So how have you been keeping, mate?
Yeah, great, man. Real good. Just awesome, enjoying life in a slow lane for a bit, actually, since Riptide. I had, like...
The state's been pretty quiet since, because I haven't seen you on as many... I mean, you've done a...
It was on Hope, and that was really fun. That was really cool, actually, because I'd been wanting to work for Hope for ages, and it was, like, a big nine-man's scramble thing, so that was fun.
Sick.
But then the rest of the weekend was quiet. I actually just... It was the first weekend in a while, so I just went back to Newquay, my hometown, and walked in fields in the rain all weekend, which is pretty sweet.
Relaxing.
And then this weekend... Rolling, can't believe it's not Winter Slam, or thank God it's not Winter Slam, with Attack,
which is sick.
But other than that,
would you say Attack's like, other than obviously because Riptide's your home, really, isn't it? In a lot of ways, it's the
liberal city of Brighton.
Home, isn't it?
Like, I guess like my home's kind of various. Like my home in terms of like where I started is Progress, and like obviously they gave me like my initial rub and everything to
that
go away.
Pretty cool to be in Super Strong Style this year.
Oh yeah, no, it was wild.
It was a great match.
It was literally a dream come true.
A lot of people reckon that's kind of like your breakout moment.
Yeah,
I know. Zack Sabre Jr.
I think in terms of like the big like the most eyes on wrestling, that was my breakout moment. But well, yeah, no, it definitely was, and I can't thank Zack enough for that match. Actually, yeah, it really was, but. I wouldn't have had that breakout moment if I hadn't had the match with Chris Brooks at Riptide, like the November before, I think. So, big shout out, Chris Brooks. for putting. He apparently on the way down there, he was like, "I'm going to piss Mambo off in this match. I'm going to do it." And everyone in the car was like, "No, there's no way. You can't piss him off." And then after the match, he was like, "I did it, didn't I? I pissed you off." And I was like, "Yes, you did." About a minute in, when he slapped me square in the mouth,
that was a stiff shot. It was, like, yeah, mate. No.
But genuinely, like, thanks to Riptide and thanks to Chris Brooks, because like that match, I know Glenn from Progress has always sort of had my back.
Mm.
And wanted to make
Ben seems really nice as well. Yeah. Comes across really nice.
And he's all over the scene, like, always watching matches and stuff. But I think that really, like, changed his opinion of him. Like, I knew I could do that match, but, like, he then knew he could do that match.
Yeah, man.
I could do that match. And that led to getting the ball rolling to Super Strong Style. And then Zach, like, elevated me even further, because obviously, like,
that was a fantastic
Zach Sabre
was it in that match as well, which sort of added to it a little bit?
Yeah, he did.
Your lip, or?
In the tech wrestling at the start.
You were at it, weren't you? Yeah, Nick was at it.
So obviously, yeah, I think Zach is like the best wrestler in the world, and it was in the tournament that I've literally dreamed of being in for like 4 years.
Technically, I don't think there's a better wrestler in the world. No, personally.
So that was, yeah. Like,
so one of your dream opponents as well, would you say?
Like, yeah. Last year, I wrote a list of three people that I wanted to wrestle, which was Zach Gibson, Eddie Dennis, and Rampage Brown. And then because ticked two of them off, so I started a new list in January, and Zack Sabre was the top of it. It was Zack Sabre, Mike Bird, and Mike Hitchman. I got to wrestle Mike Bird at Attack, which, as I was saying before we got a little distracted, Attack is definitely like... So I feel like I grew up at Progress, obviously, then like was kind of adopted by Attack, like at the same time, like,
yeah,
I always have like
a Attack's like a more
kind.
Colourful, fun, yeah, kind of environment,
like, just
as well.
like Progress is as well, but just like a super positive, like really like welcoming environment. But like obviously when you grow up in the training school there, then it's different to like when you're work. I don't know what I'm really trying to say, but yeah, like, so Progress and Attack both feel like home to me.
You've got to wrestle with Nuki, because obviously that's like your hometown. Would that be like your dream to like go back to Nuki and wrestle for them?
I wrestled somewhere near Nuki. It was like Plymouth Wrestling Association.
Is that where thingy goes?
Steve? Yeah, we've got a friend, Steve, who also works on a podcast. He does like WWE stuff a lot.
Oh, he lives
down in Plymouth, and he started going to watch Cornish Pro Wrestling.
Oh, right. CBW. I've not wrestled for them, actually.
They do some of their shows in a prison, like an old derelict
prison. Oh, I came really close to the Gates Clash.
And that sounds really sick. Like, the idea of that sounds really cool. I'd love to watch a show in a prison.
Like, for prisoners?
No, I think it's actually, like, derelict now, but they've converted it to, like, use it for wrestling and stuff.
Cornish Alcatraz.
Cornish Alcatraz. That's quite it.
It's a pretty wild name.
It's pretty sick.
I like wrestling names for things.
What's the dream going forward, man, in terms of wrestlers? Like, is there anyone on your bucket list right now you want to wrestle?
I still have Rampage Brian and Wild Boar Mike Hitchman, like the two that I haven't crossed up.
I'm surprised you haven't done Wild Boar yet.
He's doing a bit of progress now as well.
I thought I was going to be doing Wild Boar.
He's quite a journeyman as well.
British Wrestling Resurgence, actually. Because we teamed together and then he packaged pile drive with me.
Wow.
So
the match to happen.
So yeah, there was going to be a rematch, but I'm now in an artcore match where...
Artcore?
It's like an art-themed... scramble match, and the audience have paper and crayons to draw.
That's amazing.
To draw the match.
That's brilliant.
Jim Cornette's going to be furious if he hears this.
Well, you know, Jim, go easy on it. You know, times change.
Get over it, Jim.
Let love your way.
So Rampage Brown's like, obviously, is he quite a
dude? Yeah, I've always
thought
it'd just be the coolest. I fucking love Rampage so much.
He's one of the great power guys.
Inside of the ring, outside of the ring, but like you just look at him and you're like, you are like a real just fucking wrestler, aren't you? You're just like
a proper
giant, and you drop people on their head, and when your music hits, everyone's like, ah, it's the best thing ever. And like at Sonosphere and Nuki, Sonosphere and Download, we kind of hung out and watched some music together and stuff. And
he seems really nice, actually. Give me
some lessons from the biz. Yeah.
It's been about as well, wasn't he part of WWE's Performance Center early on? Career.
He was.
He did TNA's boot camp.
I wouldn't like to speak for him for his history because I'm kind of an idiot. But I know that he spent a bit of time there. But I don't know if he was too high on it by the time he left, because I know from what you hear, WWE wasn't quite as fun as it is now back in the day.
No, it was especially. I think it's all conjecture, isn't it? But I think when Hugh Morris was trainer, it was all a bit uncomfortable.
I don't know too much about wrestling rumors, but it looks like he's smashing it on ITV and stuff.
Yeah, well,
I really think. Like,
have you been watching World of Sport?
I love it. I watch every episode.
I love your face there.
Is there I any love it, and I think they should be really proud of what they're doing.
Is there any promotion
WWE
you
UK. Think everybody's great.
Is there any promotion you go out of your way to watch? Like, is there anything that you genuinely sort of sit down and think, oh, I need to watch this?
I just love watching like a big spread of wrestling. Like, me and TK will watch New Japan, and me and my housemate Will will just watch old YouTube videos. And me and TK will do that. And me and Eddie will watch like CMLL.
Oh, awesome.
And Ring of Honor. And then I'll watch like NXT UK when I'm. WWE NXT. When I'm just hanging out by myself. But the only thing that I can honestly say that I watch religiously is Being the Elite. Because honestly, like, as fun as it is and stuff, I think it's like some of the best, like between 90 and 100 is some of the best storytelling in like the recent.
Well, they use it, didn't they?
And yeah, I think it's really well done. It's engaging and it's funny and I like it.
Explains Escape the Midcard as well.
I was going to say, is that
no relation?
Is that your, no relation at all. It's no inspiration whatsoever.
Escape the Midcard.
You did it first.
Long before the 100 and something episodes of Being the Elite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Long before we had any clue about them,
yeah.
Young Bucks of Feast, basically.
Yeah, they're a bunch of undercarders.
Yeah, how could they?
Cheek of them.
Nah. It was like one of the starting points because we were thinking, like, oh, wouldn't it be so cool to have like our own independent way of progressing any storylines that we're in, like through like a weekly thing that fans keep up with? It's become actually like more nonsense for the most part than it has progressing storylines.
But you're both fun guys, aren't you?
Yeah, we're both fun guys, and also, like, I think. With such a, like, there's so much wrestling to watch at the moment that fans don't, like, if we were in the right situation, like, if there was a build at, like, Progress or Defiant or IPW or Fight Club or Attack or Riptide, yeah. Where there was a reason for us to build our story on the show, then I think we could do it, and I think the fans would be receptive. But at the moment, there's, like, all of New Japan, all of WWE, which is more hours than you could count in the first place. Then there's the Fight TV app, Progress On Demand, IPW, Defiant, Fight Club, Attack. There's like so much that, like, I think it's nice to just have 10 minutes of nonsense and like peel back the curtain a bit and just like,
I think that's why, people like, I love it personally. Like, it's just very relaxed, it's really chilled, it's a really good feel good moment. You've got the same soundtrack, haven't you, that you use every time, that really nice, like, little kind of piano music that's going on in the background.
The B roll music?
Yeah, and every time I hear the B roll music, I just think, oh, I can just relax now.
We're hoping that it can be like our entrance music when we tag
that'd be amazing.
When we tag Empire in September.
Is that September? That's the poster that was
September
advertised 23rd. On the last show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been advertised on a couple of our shows now because they're the first
place to book. Where is that going to be based?
In Leeds, Newcastle.
Oh, it's such a trek.
Or Sunderland. Sunderland, actually.
Sunderland?
Yeah, man.
My God.
I did their first one and their second one. And third one. And I think this will be their fourth one. I could be wrong about that. But, it was like a 16-hour round trip, I think.
Oh, really?
The first
wow.
one. And I did a scramble match. And, oh, wow. It's a great promotion, though. Like, they're wicked dudes. Really, really cool guys. And they booked, like, some insane talent. The first show, like, I don't know why, but not too many people were there. But, like, there was, like, some of the best talent in, like, certainly the north of England, but like basically all of England, right? Like,
we got like
in
almost
this
like
wicked cool venue. It's this really cool club, and I think like give them a year or two, and like it'll be packed out, and people will really be laughing that like the first couple ones were empty because it's a great venue, great wrestlers. Like, sometimes I think it just takes time, and like I've never had to try and promote a show, so
we're a bit spoiled as well, aren't we? Everything, like wherever you go, everyone's got like a territory and stuff, haven't they? So you got Attack Pro kind of working out of the West Country sort of region, Wales and stuff like that. Where's the best place for you to wrestle? Where do you enjoy wrestling the most? Any like halls or arenas or anything like that?
Oh, like specific venues? Yeah. I will always love wrestling in front of the Riptide audience because, like, I don't know. I just feel like I've grown with the company so much, you know? Yeah. And I fucking loved, like, obviously the ballroom is sick. And Ali Pali is, like, just such a, like, fun venue to be in and stuff.
Such a great 3 days. The weather was good as well, wasn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah. Even when we did the pre-show in September, it was just, like, such a, like, wow, it's come this far. Because Brixton was sick, but, like, well, Brixton was really cool in different ways because you could, like, look up to the balconies and stuff, and that was, like, really overwhelming. But then Ali Pali, I don't know, there's just, like, a certain atmosphere there that I thought was wild.
It's nice venue with the nice windows and things.
Yeah, just everything was really cool about it. But the garage in Islington, I think, because that was where I saw my first progress chapter. I think when I got to wrestle there, that was super special.
Oh, wow, man.
Yeah, that was really cool. And then, like, we talk about the attack venues, but, like, the Cheltenham Frog and Fiddle is, like, such a cool environment to watch wrestling, because it's, like, some of the best wrestlers in the entire world wrestling and killing it in front of, like, tops 120 fans in a barn, which is hilarious. But the beams are so low that it's quite hard to wrestle.
Oh, really?
And then the Trinity Centre, you can have more people, and there's, like, no beams, but, like, the lighting can kind of throw it off a little bit. But then when you're in Cates, for some reason, even though the lights, I think, tend to be up, and it's like a bingo hall, but there's this, like, space to wrestle, the atmosphere is still super cool. Like, I think Cates is, like, one of my all-time favorite ones as well. Especially because there's just so much history in that building in terms of, like, what attack have started there and stuff. Not that I know all of it, but, like, you can just kind of feel, like, oh, this is sick. Yeah. And there's a wicked good cafe there.
Are you excited about them wrestling them in London as well? Because obviously they're going to be taking over the Dome shows, aren't they?
Yes! Oh, man,
which means
so
obviously less travel for you as well, which is, like, a bit of a bonus, but...
A real bonus, yeah. I nearly said bummer there. Because I love the road trips.
That's very good.
No. Yeah, that would be really, really cool.
It's a good venue, the Dome, as well, isn't it? It's just sort of
the Dome's a great venue, yeah. Especially since they've got the light shows. They used to have a lower...
So I've never been to the Electric Ballroom. It's like the only major kind of place I've never been to. And I've been to literally every other venue, but the Dome is like my favourite, along with the Cockpit as
Yeah,
well,
man. I've heard a couple of people
venues,
say that.
So I do like smaller venues. Like.
Even sometimes that they prefer the Dome shows because there's not as much storyline. It's just like a...
Pure wrestling
show, really, yeah, often. Pretty sick.
I think some of us are like obsessed with like not necessarily smaller wrestlers, but people who are more localized to us.
I think it makes sense. Yeah,
like a Riptide, people are going to love you because you're part of that culture as well. You are like a British liberal icon almost in wrestling.
Oh, thanks, man. I'll take it.
Whereas they, you know, somewhere like Red Pro, it is great. Don't get me wrong. I would never say off any promotion because you know how's my
promotion
doing?
We're all smashing it. I think
you see like these big names like Volta and Ishii and stuff like that. That is great, but at the same time,
I think
people that are important to this circuit.
I think there's different like factors to what
like
you enjoy about a wrestler.
Well.
Like if you watch Walter, like I think everyone feels it. Like when his music comes on, it's like the Jaws fucking intro
just
or something.
Present,
like,
isn't
oh
it?
My
it's
god,
just
like, it's a presence that like comes from the curtain and you're like, oh my god, I'm watching like a fucking spectacle. Like take my money, you are a superstar.
Yeah,
but then I think like also people respect like and I can't take credit for it. Like I think it's much more like the people that came in the generation before me that like put in such a shift and like devoted their lives to like building a British scene. And like I spend like all my life now trying to like be the best wrestler I can be in.
When you say guys of the previous set, who do you include?
Well, people like Eddie and Mark and Dunn and Flash and Hitch and Boar and the people that really grafted and Jimmy as well, yeah. And like Jody Fleisch and Johnny Storm and Doug, like all these people, the Hunter Brothers.
We've been Brooks. Banging on about how good they are for a while now.
Yeah, they're
incredible. And when you get to wrestle with them, you realize it even more. it's incredible. Such, like, you can't even describe how much of a joy it is to work with the Hunters. It's so sick.
They're so smooth at what they do as
And just such like, cool guys to work with and, like, just, like, wise but madly humble. Like, you'll come back and, like, they'll be asking you if the match was okay. What are you talking about? Like, I know nothing. And you are incredible. they're the best. Like, if I could be even, like, half of the wrestler that the Hunters are by the time I've retired,
I'd be so happy.
But, what was the question that we started with?
Guys,
I think that, like, fans have, like, a certain connection to people that they know are, like, putting it, like, they're, like, putting a shift in, and they see them grow, and they, like, know how much it means to us, and
I think that's why,
how much the fans
especially.
Mean to us,
Riptide
and it's kind of, like, a reciprocal relationship.
Nobody works harder than you to get over with that crowd, if you know
what
I mean. Like, there's some amazing wrestlers there. You and Spike have, like, been the spine of that company.
Good versus evil, isn't it?
Your storyline... Definitely Jack as well. Jack versus Spike, really, and then I've been on a kind of, like, a weaving in and out kind of storyline where they've just built me to be, like, I don't want to say that. Well, yeah, I guess, like, the wrestler that I know
history,
I can be.
It doesn't matter how far Riptide goes. Like, Riptide could be a humongous thing in, like, 2-3 years'
time.
You'll always
be
the history. Yeah, always nice to be the first. So.
Yeah.
What was it like winning the title, man? How did it feel?
It was real surreal, man. Like, Not in a whiny way, but like, I don't believe anything that people tell me about what's going to happen with my career until it happens, because you know, it's like a fickle business and things chop and change. But like when, basically when we got to like the first kick out that got a proper great pop, I was just like,
you can feel it building.
You can see on his face. You can see like, how much that means to
this.
Him.
Like, this matters more than like, essentially, like, well, like the belt means loads to me, and I really want to make it mean loads to like the British wrestling scene. But like more than anything else, just like the energy in the room right now is sick. And then by the time that we'd ended it, I was like, I was absolutely exhausted. My shoulder was knackered because I'd like.
I saw you walking around with the ice pack afterwards. Yeah, like, you didn't like do anything particularly severe, luckily.
No, I'd done it like the weekend before. So there's a guy called Mark that is the physio there, and he's the man. He got me through that tournament.
Big shout out to Mark.
Yeah, big shout out to Mark. But yeah, no. So like, I was pretty fucking knackered. Like, I think as soon as I did actually win, it's funny because like, as much as wrestling is like performative, like some, I think the best stuff, I guess, is just when you just let yourself be. And like, as soon as I won, I had some weird like adrenaline rush, and I was just like shouting and waving my arms around and stuff. And I'd forgotten that I'd like said stuff about the fans storming the ring, and like, I just lay down in the ring, and then like. Someone had thrown a streamer, but I thought, because a couple of the shots landed pretty hard, you know, I thought I was seeing colours and I was like dehydrated and stuff, but luckily it was a streamer. And then like before I know it, like Warren and Sophie Owen were in the ring. I was like, oh shit, this is sick. And then Tristan was in the ring, and then like just like loads of people were in the ring.
Tristan French, yeah, he's a good friend of ours. Yeah,
and really I'm up on Tristan's shoulders, and everything's like ecstatic. And then everything wasn't quite as ecstatic, but even when it was like ecstatic, I was so like,
just emotion.
It's just like heaps of emotion, heaps of adrenaline, like being chronically exhausted from the, like, because it was real hot in there. And like, yeah, I just felt like golden, but I'm not sure that I could really convey it through my body at that point. I was just kind of flopping around, like, oh, I love you guys.
Is that why there's that image of you like holding the belt and you're just kind of holding onto the ropes? Like, it's that beautiful image of all the ticker tape.
Yeah, I love that picture, man. Yeah, I live.
That's going up on the wall, surely.
I probably should sort that out.
Are you kind of a memento guy, like, when it comes to wrestling? Do you have like memorabilia or things that you remember?
No, not really, actually. The guys from the Brighton Argus sent me an article the other day. I don't really know what to do.
I saw
with
that
it.
On
Twitter. It's a really nice article. They're really kind. But I didn't really know what to do with it, so I just left it in my friend's bedroom.
Fair enough.
But then I went in there to steal some deodorant the other day, and I'd seen he'd like framed it. It was really cute. I kept wanting to buy some beers. Oh no, that's a lie. I gave a bison beer to the same friend and my girlfriend, but I meant to keep one, but it was the next day was the World Cup, and I drank it on the way to the pub and recycled it. So. And then I realised what I'd done.
Progress World Cup was kind of where I sort of became a monster fan of the
audience. Oh, really?
Like, I always loved your stuff, but like the Progress World, I was in the front row, and I remember Adam Brooks jumped you in the final.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know whether you're a big football fan or not, it was just whatever. It's like, nah, not bothered. Like, fair enough, I can imagine. But it was just
I was about 2 weeks when it looked like we might get in the
world. But he was, you were really kicking the shit out of each other, to be honest. I was really impressed. Like, it proper went strong style, but wow. And like, you know when you're on the floor and he's like taunting you and trying to get you to swipe?
Was that on the floor right outside? The
yeah, you know he told everyone to move quickly and you were going to do the springboard because of your injury. You obviously couldn't do the springboard to the outside.
Yeah, I was literally
right there in front of you. I just think, oh shit, he's going to land in my lap. Like, what was it like doing the Progress World Cup? Because you got to wrestle some different guys in that as well. You got to wrestle out Bad Bones, didn't you?
Yeah, oh man, I love wrestling Bad Bones.
He's a lovely guy. I don't want to shatter kayfabe, but he's so nice.
Yeah, I was surprised how nice he was, man, because the last time I'd seen him properly was when he was like demolishing Paul Robinson at IPW.
Yeah, he looks and, Paul Robinson's a hard motherfucker.
Yeah,
well,
and I assumed it was going to be like a kind of similar vibe, like just him wrecking me, which I, from what I recall, it was pretty similar to that. But he was the coolest guy. And like, yeah, I don't know, not to peel back the curtain too much, but like, there was enough going on that night that we kind of like spitballed some ideas together, like.
You and Brooks killed
an hour before doors.
Absolutely killed it.
Yeah,
and Brooks. That's one of my favorite matches. Yeah. It's such a good match.
Me and Bones had like maybe 10 minutes to put match together, man. And it was just like such a like.
He's a smooth wrestler.
Like I was saying about Riptide and the championship, like just the better wrestlers that you put in there with just the nicer the experience.
Yeah,
and, like,
of course.
It's just like it becomes really fun. Like there's only been, I'm hoping there'll be more of them, but like there's been like a handful of times in my career where I've just been like on the mat or whatever, or like lifting someone up for a suplex and come out of my head and been like, this is a great match and I am having a great time. And I had that with the Bones match for sure. Like not that the Brooks match was sick, but like I just remember in
England
like,
versus Germany as well, the crowd are like getting all amped, they're getting into it, pretending.
And I felt like we really got them at the end. Yeah. I hope we did. I haven't actually seen it back yet, but like
I suppose you feel more comfortable if you're going up against a wrestler with a lot more experience. You feel a lot more comfortable and a lot more sort of safe in yourself knowing that you're going to be looked after, even though you would be anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously you respect everyone in the business, but like, if it's a wrestler that you really like, you know and trust and you respect and stuff, then...
Is there ever a wrestler that you look at and think, I love wrestling that guy, he's so cool, he's so smooth, yeah. Like, so
easy? Yeah, I could wrestle Eddie blindfolded, because we train together all the time, and we've said, like, maybe the next match that we have, like, we just won't even talk before we wrestle. We'll just go out there and like let it happen, you know. So him, Spike as well. Actually, I've had like lots of Spikes. Like I've been his first, like his first match at what Knuckle Lock.
The amount of grief you give him on Escape the Midcard is amazing. By the way, I love that.
It's like an outlet, I guess, because I'm so nice most of the time.
The bit when he turns up to do yoga with you and TK, and he's like, "I'm just going to fuck myself." Like, he does this every time.
It's so in his own house.
Yeah, it's so good, man. It's at his house, isn't it? Yeah. I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, I love giving Spike Jim. Especially because, like, yeah, like, I don't know. I just, like, always try and make people feel better. But then, like, as soon as a fan will tweet me with something, like, pro Spike, I'll just be like, not today, my friend.
Awesome.
Have this verbal bomb. Good outlet for, I don't know, some weird dark streak I seem to have.
Is there the opposite to what Amir just said? Is there anyone you look at and think...
Really? Christ.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the ring with him.
Yeah. It's gonna hurt.
Do you look at Volta and think...
Well, there's this one guy, Spike Treve.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard he's a bit of a dick. Yeah, real dick. Can't work for shit. Yeah. Rotten.
All of
I obviously wouldn't ever say that unless I actually really loved him. ooh, K-Babe. Well, to be honest, like... Even if there's someone that, like, you don't really know that well, or you know that, like, they've got a bit of a reputation for being hard work, like, I really think of, like, wrestling as, like, my new perspective on wrestling, rather than, like, you know, less is more, or more is more, or strong style, or whatever. It's like, life is hard, and the fans deserve a good time. So, like...
What a wonderful thing, man.
Whoever they are, attitude. Like, you can find a way to try and make it good. I mean, easy for me to say, like, I'm probably the one that most of the wrestlers have to carry at the moment, but, like, but like,
no, that's not true.
But even if
it's Harry Spike, to be
even
fair.
If it's a bit of an uphill battle, I think there's always you both love the same art, even if you love different.
You're both in it for the same reason.
Yeah, so you can find a way to make it work. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just have a stinker. But it's all a learning curve, isn't it? So.
Yeah, of course.
Who's your ultimate opponent? Like, is there anyone like past, present, or even like down the line that you look at?
In what scenario?
Yeah, like do you look at someone? Maybe you think like, oh, I love Bret Hart when I was a kid, so I'd watch Bret Hart. Or is it you look at Volta and think he's a beast, but I'd love to get in a ring with him? Like, is there any dream opponent for you? If nothing was any obstacle for you, who would you love to wrestle?
I fucking love to wrestle Zach again, do you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've fantasy booked me and TK against the Bucks a couple of times.
That'd be sick.
Could you imagine? That would be so fucking cool.
That'd be amazing. I'm going to tag them in this podcast now.
Yeah,
I'm going to harass the crap out of
them. Tag them, tag him. Tag ETM.
You belong on, but I think we would love a crossover between Escaping the Midcard and being the Elite.
Yeah, well, that's the dream. That's the
being
podcast
being
dream.
Being the Midcard.
Being the, Escaping the Elite.
Escaping the Elite is much better. Yeah, we'll come back.
I don't want to be the Elite. on a personal level, I think I'd love to wrestle Zach again. I'd wrestle Eddie any day of the week, because before he is my friend, he's my favourite wrestler.
Is he as lovely as he comes across?
Yeah.
He seems so awesome,
sick,
that guy.
Yeah, he's a
really, like,
really
cool.
And Rampage, obviously.
Still the
and
dream
then in
Rampage.
In terms of, like, all-time best wrestlers ever.
Did you watch wrestling as a kid? Did you watch WWE?
Oh, yeah, I've loved it ever since I was, like, 5. But there's wrestlers that are, like, my favourite wrestlers that I don't think I'd necessarily have the best match with. You know, like, obviously anyone would love to wrestle Hogan or, like, Austin or Rock.
Yeah, cool.
But, like, I don't know if, like, I'd have the best match with them, you
know? I think Hogan would.
Well, Hogan in his prime. His prime.
30 years ago. No offense, Hogan.
I'd probably play a bit more. Right now, I'd still say it was Rampage, really.
Yeah. Have you always looked up to Rampage since you started?
Yeah, ever since I got into independent wrestling.
Is he part of the Projo? Was he one of the trainers?
No, because he had to come a long way. Like, even for the early progresses, he had to come a long way for progress from the north. Okay. He's just the man, isn't he?
For the Atlas Championship, maybe? Because he was the first Atlas Champion, wasn't he? Like, that would be
pretty
sick.
That's true, yeah. I am not even nearly heavy enough.
Have you ever wrestled Doug Williams? Because I know he's been running around.
I've not, and I know it's his last year.
I was going to say, would you like to get in there quick and get a match with Doug Williams?
That would be obviously such an honor.
Imagine when you hear someone as special as Doug Williams is leaving soon, that it must be very important for you to be like, oh, I'd love to kind of wrestle a guy.
Yeah, I really would love to wrestle. And I know TK, like, absolutely smashed it as well. It's such a good hybrid of styles at that. You've not been to the ballroom, sorry.
No, I have watched it. I do watch it on demand.
So it's like a good hybrid of like the school of wrestling that Doug came from.
I'm not blowing smoke. I do watch all your matches religiously. Like, I think the Dome, like, I've always been a fan of yours, but seeing you at the Dome was very special to me.
That I think this year has been like quite a cool year for coming out.
You are the ultimate underdog babyface.
Oh, thanks, man.
Like, we love you for that. Like, a Riptide, like, I was like, because I spoke to you, didn't I? I got a chance to speak to you very briefly beforehand. And just the emotion, like, for me, wrestling is very emotional. It's very important.
It's my biggest passion.
The emotion is real. I'm obsessed with it. I chase it all around the country. Like, I'd happily drive up to Sunderland just to watch you guys wrestle. Yeah, that's not a problem. I absolutely will. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way I do, that when they watch you, they feel like, oh, this is kind of, you're very relatable. You're a lovely human being.
Thanks,
you've obviously got an awesome personality. You're also very liberal. You know, you've got a feministic trait as well, which is awesome as well. You're very progressive. People love that in this day and age. And Brighton is the ultimate home of progression.
Yeah, I think so, man. It must have been the last day, yeah. The adrenaline
must have been like running through you all 3 days for that Brighton Championship tournament.
Yeah, I think just like the energy that comes from the crowd, like, brings it in many ways. Like, it's a funny balance because, like, I feel comfier there and also more nervous there because, like, comfier because just the crowd is so welcoming, but then, like, and I know what they're going to like, so I can, like, kind of fairly tell what to do.
Is there any way you'd love to wrestle in terms of promotions? I was just curious because, like, obviously you are like almost a journeyman
DDT
as well.
Pro.
DDT Pro would be sick. I'd love
really
to see you
like
wrestle
to
Joey
onto,
Ryan.
Yeah,
that'd
yeah.
be amazing.
I'd really like to get on Defiant, man. Mm. And I wrestled on like one of like the biggest changes in my whole wrestling career was when I went along to the Dream Tag Team Invitational for Fight Club last year.
Yeah.
Because I had a car. I think I just recently got in a car. I was like, oh, it's Aki, man. I'll drive whoever you need.
Oh, awesome.
And he was like, dude, just come along on the coach. It's sweet. I was like, what? Why are you being... It was just like so unnecessarily like nice and welcoming. And it was such a sick environment. Like everyone there, I wasn't even wrestling on any of the show. I wrestled on like the last day on the pre-show. But everyone was just like so like, hey, like, learn this. And like, hey, have you ever thought about this? And like, just like everyone's trying to make you better at your job. And like, just having such a fun time. So I'd love to get involved with Fight Club, especially because of like the like.
They're in London, aren't
they?
Not
that people don't know how good they are, but like.
Do you think they're still isolated
like
in their area?
Fight Club and Attack really laid a lot of groundwork for the scene to blow
up.
Like, Progress are definitely really responsible for a lot of like the scene blowing up, but like maybe Attack and Fight Club are like unsung heroes of like the scene blowing up sometimes. So it'd be wicked to like be more involved with those guys as well. I'd love to wrestle them.
Awesome.
And the new DreamWorks warehouse is fucking the coolest.
That looks so cool. I've never been to that venue. We got some mates who go out to Wolves and stuff like that, and they go and watch those shows.
Fight Club.
Yeah, that's Fight Club.
I've said to you before. They're doing
I've worked the bar there a couple of times.
Oh, awesome!
Hell of a reasonable price for a drink.
I was going to get me a London ticket for Fight Club Pro, but I've never been, and I want
in the
Bushy
Hall thing.
Is that the one in London?
Yeah, they're doing a project, Project London, aren't they?
I'd
they're
like
doing 3 days at the end of this month.
No way!
Yeah. I thought you'd know, like, I was really hoping you'd be
more on it
there.
On my job, yeah.
I'd like to see
them in Wolverhampton. Book member right now.
Hey, Zaggy.
Hey, tag him now as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We're just going to tag all the promotions we want you
I'm
to work in going
professional.
Forward.
I know all of your tour dates.
Yeah, he's also a skater right mid-card. We're talking about a main eventer in Brighton. Come on.
I am a main eventer in Brighton.
Absolutely.
it's a funny thing about wrestling.
I won't take up too much more of your time, because I appreciate you're quite busy, but the entrance is awesome. Everyone loves the entrance.
Thanks, yeah.
Well, wrestling, like a lot of wrestlers,
I'd love to see that at your call.
Dark hair.
I'd love to see that, yeah.
It would be sick at your call. Like, yeah. A lot of wrestling is about dark hair, dark beards, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. You're very colourful, you're very excited. Your merchandise is really cool, because it's unique and different.
Yeah.
But, you know, I bought the tank top off you. Like, I love that tank top. I wear
it
to the gym all the time.
Well,
that's exactly it. That's the other thing as well, being like, you know, obviously ethical, the veganism and all that kind of stuff that comes with it. Like, what made you think of, like, just being, is it because you were from Newquay, you thought, sorry, I'm going to go with a surfer gimmick with the beach balls, or did you just want to
or was you a surfer?
I did, well, when I got to the Projo quite early on, Jim Smallman was there for sort of a character development class, and when I was a teenager, I wrestled in Gloucestershire as Papa G.
Oh, wow.
Rotten.
And, Papa G.
And I said to Jim, like, hey man, like, I've been wrestling as...
What was Papa G's gimmick?
He liked dancing. I don't know why he was called
getting stoned and all that kind of shit.
Everyone thinks that, but you'd be surprised.
You think so, no, the name of Papa G.
But weirdly not. But anyway, I was like, I've been doing this. I don't think it will translate now that I'm, like, not a fucking teenager. And he was like, oh, well, like, I imagine you own a surfboard. And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. He was like, just roll with that.
Yeah.
And then, like, my friend is called Chuck, who surfs. So I was like, bad, Chuck made sense. And Mambo just kind of... I went from there, but like shortly after like my first endeavor, I realized that like I wasn't really playing a character, like just like being getting to be you in the ring.
I think that's
like,
why people love you so much.
Yeah,
you are think, yourself.
Yeah,
you've said
yeah.
Times before, isn't it? When the gimmick is just yourself, turn up not.
Yeah, Earl Black Jr. wrote his master's thesis on wrestling being like drag, where men play men.
Okay.
I think that's
quite a unique concept.
It's probably like quite true of like a lot of acts in this day and age. It's definitely true of like the 90s and maybe the 90s and some of the more mainstream wrestling acts. But like, I think, like I was saying earlier about like when people feel proud about having seen you grow and like, I think just being like real, because people can relate to it. Even though like, so I did worry for a while, because I was like, in real life, like, not to be like, hey, I'm so quirky, but like sometimes I think like I don't know anything about like mainstream pop culture in any way, like I know like wrestling, I know a little bit about human and environmental rights, and I know what I find funny.
Awesome.
But like,
what do you need?
But yeah, exactly. But luckily, like, just like, you know, with the opportunities I've been given, I guess like I've been able to wrestle with wrestlers that are good enough that we put on pretty sick matches, and I suppose the audience related from there. So,
so anything you like?
Thank
to
you,
say?
Audience.
I was going
to
say,
getting on board.
So anything you like to say to like your fans and that? Because you do have probably more so than you even realise. Like, you are super bold.
Oh, well, just thanks for the support, and it feels weird.
got to be official now, isn't it?
Genuinely, yeah. Though, like sincere thank you for the support, because like my career is directly proportional to the support that I get from you people, so I really appreciate that, and it's literally let me live my dream, so sick.
Did you want to like plug your Twitter or anything, or your Instagram? Do you want to give away your
just details? Tune in weekly to Escape the Midcar.
Exactly.
You can't
subscribe,
see me doing
the
hand gesture, but I'm doing it. Escape in the Midcar. Thank you for supporting British wrestling. Thank you for being sick fans. Basically the best fans. Well, yeah, the best fans in the entire world. And keep enjoying wrestling. Just make sure you're having fun.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks,
man.
Dude.
I really appreciate it.
That's been awesome.
Cheers, man. Yeah, it's been a blast.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that was our sit-down with Chuck Mambo. Thank you once again, especially to Chuck, for taking the time to sit down and talk to us. Our Pokey Little podcast is really going places, and I think Chuck has been one of the great friends of this podcast. He's been a real help to us. He's been one of the coolest and, as he says, gnarliest dudes that you could know on the British independent circuit. I highly recommend that people check out Chuck Mambo's work. You can find him on so many different platforms. He is by far and away one of the most colourful and interesting independent wrestlers on the circuit today. And I think you owe it to yourselves to check out Chuck Mambo and everything that he's involved with at Chuck Mambo. Chuck is spelled C-H-U-C-K. Mambo is spelled M-A-M-B-O at Chuck Mambo on the Twitter. If you want to check out Chuck Mambo and all of his latest dates, tours and thoughts on wrestling, mambomerch.bigcartel.com. Get yourself some sweet Mambo merch. I can attest to it. I have one of his tank tops. He has beautiful merch. So make sure you check that out. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out Chuck Mambo and TK Cooper on Escaping the Midcard, their weekly YouTube series. You can search Escaping the Midcard. We'll also provide you a link in the description to this podcast, of course. A weekly show looking at the fantastic journey of an independent wrestler in Britain and beyond. TK Cooper, of course, has just finished up a fantastic tour of the United States, working in the ECW arena, amongst others, for Progress Wrestling. And of course, you can see what Chuck's been up to consistently. And if you're very lucky, if you pay attention, you might just see an appearance from yours truly. And of course, Heel Nick Payne. And not to mention our good brother, Colin, a listener who meets up with us at Riptide Shows in Brighton. So make sure you check that out, guys, because it is a really fantastic YouTube series and it deserves to have a lot of eyes on it. Give him a shout. He's an awesome human being. Make sure you give him a follow and join everybody else on this incredible journey that Chuck Mambo has been making. But once again, thank you so much to Chuck for sitting down and talking to myself and Heel Nick Payne. It was an absolute pleasure. And we look forward to hopefully sitting down with Chuck in the future and getting more beer and banter from the gnarliest dude in all of British professional wrestling. We hope you've enjoyed this interview, guys. As always, please check out the social media links. Let us know what you thought. This is one of many, many interviews we're hoping to do going forward. We've got so many more surprises in store for everyone who's been loyal to the Smart Plug and everyone joining in the future. If you've got any thoughts, social media links are, of course, available in all the descriptions at the Smart Plug on Twitter and, of course, search Smart Plug on Facebook. Like and follow the page for all of our content, podcast updates, hashtag Smart Plug selfie pictures, and, of course, everything else in between. Once again, thank you so much to everybody involved in this, and especially to our good brother Chuck Mambo. Cue the music.
Mambo!